I'm recording this interview on Tuesday morning, and I was up late last night watching the first big debate between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. And, you know, I'm not a terribly sophisticated, you know, political guy. I mean, all I could figure out from the debate was, well, Hillary Clinton didn't keel over with some disease and Donald Trump didn't foam at the mouth, so I'm guessing it was pretty much a draw. But I thought you might need a little bit better analysis than that. And so I thought, well, let me get this woman on, who was a great interview the last time we had her. Her name is Kathy Lynn Taylor. She's a policy expert. In fact, she was on this morning on Fox News giving her analysis about all the stuff going on there. And she's been on Newsmax, CNN. She's been just all over the place. Incredible credentials. And she's the author of this runaway bestseller, Red is the New Black, How Women Can Fashion a More Powerful America. A warning, she's of the conservative persuasion, but I'll try to get her to not do any kind of spin here on the show. So, Kathy Lynn Taylor, welcome back to One Dimitri Radio. How you doing, kiddo?
I'm great. Thanks for having me. It's good to be with you.
All right. So who won last night?
Well, you hit the nail on the head. It was a draw. Look, I think at the end of the day, they both passed. Donald Trump may have passed with extra credit, because when you look at the 11% of undecided voters, and then you factor in another, let's say, almost 10% or so, just an estimate, but of those voters who may lean on one side or the other but could still be persuaded, you probably get to about 20% that's up for grabs at least. And those voters probably were more persuaded by Donald Trump than Hillary Clinton.
Why do you say that?
Because Hillary Clinton was the best she could be last night. And I'll be honest, I give her a lot of credit. She looked great. I said, oh, the Fox News makeup and hair crew must have done her hair and makeup, which of course couldn't be true, but they're the best in the business, and she looked fantastic for her. And she was as likable as she's ever been. Dimitri, for 90 minutes, I almost forgot all the things she's done that would have been so terrible and entitled. But nonetheless, she did a good job, and she did what she needed to do, which was get him to talk and put the debate on him. But she never offered a new idea for America. She never spoke really about anything she would do, certainly with no substance behind it. And she has no mission for America. Free college is not a mission for people. She offered no solutions. And so if you're a Hillary supporter, you're glad she didn't keel over, and you're very glad she gave her best performance of the campaign. But if you're not, all the things that still make Hillary Hillary and that are problematic, the sense of entitlement, the violations of law, the lack of ethics, the lack of policy, foreign policy as Secretary of State, are still a problem after last night.
Well, I got to tell you, Kathy, I think Hillary Clinton, in terms of if you do it by just debate points, I think Hillary Clinton won because she seemed to be taking the fight to Donald Trump, which frankly surprised me no end. But she would bring up points, and Donald Trump would be responding to her points, which said to me that she was the one punching and he was trying to counterpunch. What do you think of
that? It was almost like she was the moderator. Where was Lester Holt?
Well, yeah, but back to her now.
She may have asked more questions than him. No. But she did, from a debate 101 perspective, she managed the mechanics of the debate better. But that's not what gets you vote. If the best debaters won the election, we'd have a very different lineup instead of these two candidates. Look at Carly Fiorina. Look at Ted Cruz. The best debater is not the last man standing, because these debates are not like debates in high school or in college where you're on a debating team and you're practicing these tactics, just like you pointed out that Hillary Clinton effectively practiced last night. These debates are conversations with the American people. You know, it was Roger Ailes, actually, when he was back advising Ronald Reagan for debate preparation many, many years ago, who told him, don't worry so much about the facts and figures. Talk about themes. Americans watch TV emotionally. And he obviously understood the American TV watching public very well. That's still true today. And if you look at early polling, as it's starting to come out this morning, Trump's supporters are very, very happy. He's polling as well, if not better. And if that trend continues over the course of the day and the evening, then it won't matter about her debate mechanics. It matters who had a conversation with the American people.
Well,
she spoke in paragraphs. He spoke in bullet points. She spoke in political speak. He spoke in dinner table speak. He may have resonated more.
Okay. Now, the polling, though, this is online polling, and you know that's notoriously unreliable. It's not scientific. So, I mean, Dr. Ron Paul would have won the debate last night if his name had been on that polling and he wasn't even on the stage. So, I mean, fair's fair, don't you think?
I do think that the polling for this election has been very hard to conduct and read because of Donald Trump being such an unusual candidate. And I think that'll take us up to the very last minute. But the reality is this. So far, battery mechanics, whether it's a debate performance, town hall performance, campaign operations, battery mechanics have not seemed to be the indicator of success. Reaching the hearts of Americans has been the indicator of success, and so far he's still doing that better.
All right. Now, you've been up since, wanted to tell me, how early have you been up this morning? Because I saw you, because I can't sleep, because I'm just like, crazy. And so I'm watching TV at 3 or 4 in the morning, and I'm going, oh my God, there's Kathy Lynn.
You're who watches it 4 in the morning.
I'm going, oh my God, and she's not wearing her red dress. What the hell's the matter with her?
How long
were you up? How long have you been up?
I promise you I'll not wear a red dress next time.
Please.
Well, I have been up since 1:30 in the morning,
man.
Monday.
Oh, man. Oh, my goodness.
So I was among the first crew to show up at Hofstra University in the wee hours of Sunday night/Monday morning and kicked off the debate there, which was a lot of fun. They were terrific hosts. They had a – it was real interesting about – when they made their call for student volunteers, they had over 800 students apply for about 200 or so spots. And those students were terrific, very impressive young men and women. So proud that this was happening at their university, representing many different schools of thought across the political spectrum.
Okay, Kathy, nobody cares about the kids. One question.
Who cares about America's future, right?
What the hell with these kids? Who cares about that? One question, which I don't understand. What is a Hofstra?
What is a Hofstra?
Yeah, it's a strange name. What the hell is that? Is it an Indian
tribe?
I've
never considered that before. I could not tell you.
Oh, for heaven's sakes. Kathy, you were right there.
Sorry.
You were right there at Hofstra.
I failed the debate.
Unbelievable. Okay, now give me something, because you've got a unique perspective. You were there. You were among the first people there on Fox News to give your analysis. By the way, you looked lovely. But tell me something. Give my listeners something that they cannot get anywhere else. Tell me what you saw, what you witnessed, what you felt that my listener would go, oh, wow, that really go on? Is that what happened? Is that what went on behind the scenes or whatever? Give me something that no one else can give me.
Well, I don't know how exciting it is. I know you're looking for a juicy tidbit, but what I can tell you is that it takes an enormous amount of work and a huge number of people to make this all happen. So in the middle of the night, the streets are being barricaded, the TV sets are being set up, students are walking around. It was like 3 o'clock in the afternoon at 2 o'clock in the morning. And there was coffee and there were some eggs, generously. And there was a feeling of excitement, of real excitement. It was a beautiful evening/morning. So people were real excited. And I think that expectation hurt the candidates a little bit in the end, because I don't know how you deliver on that unless you're, Miramax delivering some kind of blockbuster movie. At the end of the day, I do think people were a little bit let down. But I will tell you, when you were there, you could feel the energy and excitement.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Did you see anything really unusual behind the scenes?
No. No, these things are, pretty well orchestrated and thought out and run, and everybody takes them very seriously. Let's remember that for all the mudslinging and the ping pong ball bouncing back and forth between the candidates last night, these are serious issues, serious events, and they were treated as such.
Okay, I'm talking with Kathy Lynn Taylor, author of the soon-to-be runaway bestseller, Red is the New Black, and we'll talk with her a little bit more about that in just a bit. Also, a Fox News analyst. She was among the first to be analyzing the debate on the Fox News channel, and a special guest here at One Dimitri Radio. We're a big fan of hers. She's always a great radio, and we appreciate it a lot. Now, Kathy, did you see Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump in person?
No, I did not. No.
Okay. What
no,
did they
because
look
I covered the early mornings. I kicked off both days, and they closed both days, as they should.
All right. Now, you saw it on TV, obviously. So what did they look like to you on TV, your impressions? I don't care about the debating, just visually. What did Hillary look like front, back, sideways, before the debate, after the debate, and same thing with Donald Trump?
I think they both looked terrific. They looked strong and healthy. I think they looked vibrant and ready to be there and high energy and distinguished. And I would actually give them both A-plus in that category.
All right.
They were both on their game in terms of appearance and ready to appear presidential.
Does Hillary look as if she's wearing extra clothing because she's hiding some wire or some kind of device in her back or her side? It's like she's got almost too much clothing on these days.
Oh, you're going conspiracy on me, Dimitri.
No. Just the opposite. I'm going fashion on you because your book, Red is the New Black, is a fashion statement. Note the segue. I'm trying to help you promote your book here, Kathy. But fashion-wise, doesn't Hillary Clinton look really odd and like with different layers of clothing?
No, I don't take that. I'll be honest with you. I mean, I think, God, look, you know, we can have very different opinions, Hillary Clinton and I, about how to fix and move our country forward. But I hope I'm 70 years old and with the same energy and charisma and strength of either of these candidates. And I think that, you know, having served in the White House, that's something I'll always take with me. There's a great respect that you observe and hopefully embrace there when you have that opportunity in terms of the office of the presidency and those who serve it. And I think that if, as Americans, we could all remember that, even if you can't each and every one of us touch and feel it like I was so blessed to do, that we'd have a lot better conversation because it would be a more civil and respectful one. And that is exactly what my book aims to do. It tries to speak to all people in a way that is more conversational, more relatable, more approachable, so that we can break down these policy issues and I can help people understand, because I was lucky enough to be there, what this stuff really means for our everyday lives, and that's really important.
Civil and respectful. Hell, you're no fun.
Okay,
you were at the White House. You were, you know, part of this administration and all that. Tell me the most important person you met and tell me the funniest story or the most interesting story. Drop a name for me, a really good
one. Well,
let
me clarify. It was not this administration. I was lucky to serve President Bush 43.
Okay.
And
drop some names.
I was part of the National Security Council.
Tell me some of the stuff. Tell me some good juicy stuff that only you experienced.
Yeah, well, you know, one of the privileges of being, you know, part of the White House staff is that you do get to interact with all of the president and all of the top staff, and that was a real privilege. I will tell you that I did a lot of running between my office and my boss's office in the West Wing, a lot of running, and the Secret Service there would always say to me, "Are you okay running in those heels?" And I'm like, "I could run a marathon in these heels." Not true anymore. And one day I was running in the door to get something to my boss, and I, of course, smacked right into someone pretty hard, and I thought, oh, my goodness, that's terrible. This is the West Wing. I should have decorum. I shouldn't have been running.
Mm-hmm.
And I look up, and there's Don Rumsfeld, and he says, I said, "Oh, I'm so sorry, sir." And he said, "That's quite all right. We're all very busy here. I completely understand." He was could not have been more gracious. And I bumped into him pretty hard. I would have been annoyed.
Oh, my goodness.
And he couldn't have been more gracious. And, you know, that is kind of tongue-in-cheek little fun story, but it's so symbolic of the White House in which I got to serve, where respect was expected among everyone from everyone. President Bush, from my observation, treated the Secret Service man or woman opening the door the same as he did his cabinet, to his staff, to everyone around him. And that example was then mimicked by all of us who worked there, and it was an incredibly civil, respectful, and therefore very empowering and fun place to work. And that is not always true among presidents. That's not a Republican thing.
Kathy,
it's not a Democrat thing.
Did you see somebody misbehave? Tell me. Who was it? What were they doing?
We worked real hard, Dimitri. I don't think I had time to go out to dinner more than 5 times in a year. We worked real, real hard. So there was not so much of fun of that to report to. I hate to break it to you.
So who did you see misbehaving?
As I said, I was in my office locked in there working
Kathy,
hard.
Kathy, you are no fun, honest to God. All right, now this book. Red is the New Black, and it's kind of a fashion-y kind of a thing. And what you're essentially saying is that women should be focusing more on red states and more conservative and all that. Now, this dovetails beautifully with my last question for you, and that is, at the end, Hillary Clinton was talking about women and how Donald Trump treated women and calling them names and this, that, and the other, and blah, 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 blah. As a woman, even though you are of the Republican persuasion, was Hillary's pitch attacking Donald Trump's position or reactions to women, did it work?
No. Look, I mean, nobody, man or male or female, wants to hear somebody call someone else names. And so obviously I would hope that, you know, especially as his candidacy becomes more and more likely, that, you know, Trump can find other ways to make his point. But having said that, it wasn't effective, because what matters for women are the policies. And it's like going to the doctor and choosing a doctor that is a really, really, really effective healer, but maybe not such a great, maybe doesn't have such a great bedside manner along the way. I don't care. I want the person who can fix me up. And that's what this is about. We need the policies that best empower all Americans, not just women, not just African Americans, all Americans. And that's what matters to me. Doesn't matter if she's a man, doesn't matter if she's a woman, doesn't matter if they always say the right, he or she always says the right thing. I want someone who can fix things and get the job done. And so I don't think her pitch was particularly effective. Everybody knows this about Donald Trump. If it was going to stop him, believe me, it would have already. Having said that, always good, you know, as we say in the corporate world, development opportunities to phrase things better going forward, sure.
Yeah, that really is corporate speak. That's very boring. You got to come
it
up
is.
With some. You got to sex
Look,
it up somehow for normal.
Let
people.
Me tell you this.
Yes.
If I stopped every time, I was a mortgage trader, a bond trader, well before there were hardly any women on mm-hmm. the bond trading side of things.
Yeah.
I was at the White House in a senior position, National Security Council, not a place you expect to find a huge number of women. Mm-hmm. I was an entrepreneur who raised venture funding when there were very few women CEOs. If I stopped every time someone told me no or made a comment to me, I'm not saying that's not things that cross the line that should be dealt with appropriately, but if I stopped every time a comment was made or someone didn't take me seriously because I was a woman, I wouldn't do anything. We have to have a level of personal accountability where we fight for ourselves, we protect ourselves, we live and take care of ourselves to the fullest extent possible. And that's what should motivate us and help us move forward.
Okay. Well, Kathy, as you know, I'd love talking to you, actually listening to you all day. But I know you've got a very busy schedule. Plus, you'd like to get some sleep, I guess, the next 48 hours.
And so I know you've got an hour or two would be great.
Yeah, I know you've got to run off. But I always give my guests the last word here at One Dimitri Radio. So I'm going to hand you my Shure SM7B dynamic microphone. And this is your opportunity to speak directly to my listeners here at One Dimitri Radio to promote your book shamelessly, your appearances of social media, anything and everything, including repeating key points, bringing up new points. You've got a blank check. So, Kathy Lynn Taylor, my microphone is yours.
Well, thank you. It's an auspicious microphone to be speaking into. Thanks for having me this morning, Dimitri. It's always so much fun to speak with you. Look, I wrote this book, Red is the New Black, well before Trump became Trump and this election became what it was. I wrote this book for two reasons, because as someone who has had the good fortune to serve on Wall Street, on Main Street, and in the White House, I found that we were all not speaking the same languages, and I wanted to make policy, I want to make policy very clear for people, whether it's economic policy, national security policy, immigration policy, social policy. I break them all down in the book so people can really understand what the heck Washington is talking about and what it means for their everyday lives. And if you look at those policies, you'll see that Republican presidents have had a very, very strong track record in helping the average person in this country do better. And that is the main reason I wrote this book. I also wrote it because I think not enough women are getting to have that conversation, and we're not doing a good enough job having that conversation with women themselves. So I've written this book for two reasons. I hope that folks will consider it their little black book of policy before and after the election. It's timeless, doesn't talk about candidates specifically, and you can get it now on Amazon. We're almost at that number one slot in our category, so we'll hope you'll help us make us a bestseller. You can get it at barnesandnoble.com or your local bookstore. And I'm out speaking on the road. If you have a speaking opportunity, you'd like me to come speak near you or an organization you're passionate about, just go to KathyLynnTaylor.com onto the contact page and send me a note, and we'd be glad to try and make it happen.
And Kathy is spelled with a C. So make sure
a
you
big
add,
C.
Yeah, make sure you tell them that. My sources tell me that after your last interview here at One Dimitri Radio to promote Red is the New Black, there was a huge spike in sales. Is that true?
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable would be the right word. All right, Kathy, thank you. You are great radio. Please get some sleep, and we'll talk again soon, all right?
Look forward to it. Thanks for having me. Have a great one.
ThisCarStillWorks.com, ShadyDeals.co.uk. Is it meant to sound like that, .uk? Sure, I'll get my money back, .gr. Why risk buying online when you can get a Renault deal? All our used cars come with a 12-month warranty and breakdown assistance and a 30-day no-quibble exchange policy. In case you change your mind, visit our Renault-approved used car sales event from the 1st to the 10th of October. Retail customers only. Participating dealers only. T's and C's apply. See usedcars.renault.co.uk.